increase the pressures.
I want to thank you very much, Mr. Mustafa Khoshesh, for being with us. You are an Iranian affairs analyst with us from Tehran to discuss what are the prospects of the regional and international relations that are going to be tied again with the Islamic Republic of Iran after the election of the new president. Thank you very much for being with us. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Middle East Stream.
In the limelight. Amazon rainforest could be at far higher risk of extreme drought than previously thought, according to new research. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by the staff of Science Tech Daily. This article is published under the heading, High Risk of Extreme Drought. Unchecked climate change will cause severe drying of the Amazon rainforest. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. An international study led by the University of Leeds warns that huge areas in eastern part of the Amazon face severe drying by the end of the century if action is not taken to curb carbon emissions. As a result, large amounts of carbon dioxide would be released from the forest into the atmosphere, adding to the greenhouse gas effect and driving further climate change. The increased dryness during the Amazon dry season would further threaten the viability of large parts of the rainforest, as trees are already water-stressed and there is greater risk of forest fires. The predicted droughts could also have far-reaching consequences for the Amazon water cycle, biodiversity, and the population that lives in the region. The findings published in the journal Environmental Research Letters predict reductions in rainfall that are comparable to the drying seen during the major droughts of 2005 and 2010, which caused widespread tree mortality and had major impacts for the Amazon communities. The research team examined factors regulating the process by which forest transfer water from the soil to the atmosphere, known as evapotranspiration. Dr. Jessica Baker of the University of Leeds School of Earth and Environment led the study. She said, "People in Brazil and across the globe are rightly concerned about what the future holds for the Amazon and its valuable store of carbon and biodiversity. The Amazon is at risk from the twin threats of deforestation and climate change. This new study sheds light on how the Amazon climate is likely to change under an extreme warming scenario. It should ring alarm bells for governments around the world that this vital global resource must not be taken for granted. Protecting and expanding existing forests, which absorb and store carbon, is of paramount importance to combating climate change." The Amazon basin contains the world's largest tropical rainforest and plays a key role in global carbon and water cycles. However, existing climate models disagree on whether the Amazon will become wetter or drier. This makes it difficult for policymakers to predict future droughts, assess wildfire risks, or plan climate change mitigation and adaptation strategies. The research team analyzed the results of 38 known Amazon climate models. By ruling out climate predictions from unrealistic models, the patterns of future rainfall change in the Amazon became clearer. According to the new study, only a third of the 38 models correctly reproduced the interactions between the atmosphere and land surface, previously known by Amazon fieldwork. By focusing on this smaller group of models, uncertainty in rainfall changes over the whole Amazon basin was reduced by a half. This group showed wide agreement in predicting future rainfall changes, with severe drying expected in the eastern Amazon over the next 80 years, and conversely, rainfall increases in the western basin. Dr. Cao Colio from the National Institute for Space Research in Brazil was the study's co-author. He said, "It's important to understand how the climate of the Amazon might change in the future," adding, "This study shows that dry season rainfall reductions in parts of the Amazon could be similar to the drying seen during the major Amazon droughts of 2005 and 2010, which caused widespread tree mortality and had major impacts for Amazon communities."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program, Bridge, on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. And we are still in verse number 10, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in reality also teaches us indirectly how to address Allah to make us relieved from the predicament that we have been entangled in, and how should we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us from that situation. And we discussed the beginning phrases of this verse, and we reached this phrase, فافعل بي ذلك وإن لم أستوجبه منك. So do that for me, though I merit it not from you. And here we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us from that state of constriction and that state that we now have come into due to the calamity that has befallen us and the grief that we have. So we are actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repel that grief and, you know, make us in such a way that we come to a situation which is better, our capacities increase. One of the most despicable or most pathetic situation that a person can have, as we said, is when his capacity and heart becomes narrow, and therefore the grace is always abundant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately he doesn't have the capacity to receive the grace. It's like somebody telling you that, you know, I have a lot of treasure, but I can only give it to you now, for example. And therefore, however much bags or containers you have, bring it, and I'll fill it for you. And you have not brought any container, or you have a very small container. You will really feel sad, because you'll say that this was an opportunity, and therefore I have, you know, I would have brought a very huge bag, or I would have brought so many containers to collect all this, because it is abundant, extremely abundant. Now, with regard to Allah, it's not once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moment by moment, gives abundant grace without any limit. وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا. But the receptacles of grace are narrow, they cannot contain a lot, and that is why you find that they don't get so much.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds,
the bridge between Allah and His creation,
a bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity, a bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
So if a person comes into such a situation because of the things that he himself has done in life, and he narrows down his capacity, and thus he cannot get the grace, it is a very despicable situation, especially when it comes to ma'rifatullah and understanding Allah and comprehending the realities. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the greatest aspirations that all of us must have in life, that when we are in this world, we at least know who our creator he is, not conceptually. Conceptually is for those people who are in the rudimentary stages. Whenever we try to compare ourselves with others, we usually look at the world and say, okay, this person is already a successful businessman. This person, for example, has these many political successes and so on. We do not look at this person, how far and how high has he attained a level of spirituality so that he is ready to go to the hereafter and all that. So this capacity is something which is extremely important, not the capacities of material prosperity, although that is also something that is good. But just imagine you get material prosperity throughout your life, okay? And then you are oblivious of Allah. And when you go to your grave, you see everything dark. You have not prepared yourself at all. How despicable is the state of such a person? Whereas a person who struggles in life has not attained a lot of material prosperity, but is ready, can see the hereafter. There are people who, because of spiritual purity, can even see barzakh, the intermediate realm, and even beyond that. You know, when we come to our a'imma, like the Holy Prophet and the a'imma alayhi salam, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, we see, he says, لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَاءُ mazdattu yaqinan. That means for me everything is clear. Even the hereafter, I can see it. So if curtains were to be unveiled from your hearts, for me, yaqeen and conviction of the hereafter would remain the same. I can see it. That is what we should try to aspire for. We should come to that station of seeing. But many of us, we find that our hearts are narrow. Therefore, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to widen our receptacles.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, after lamenting, we say, "Faf'al bi dhalika wa in lam astawjibhu mink." So do that for me, though I merit it not from you, O Allah. Showing that, O Allah, I don't deserve all these things. It's on the grace is only one way. Now, a very important thing is to understand this, that the grace is only one way. And that is when a person understands Tawheed properly, especially the Tawheed of the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the sole person who has power to do anything is Allah. The sole person who has any property of himself is Allah, ontologically. You see, many of us, when we say that, for example, I say this book belongs to me, that book belongs to you, this is attributive ownership. That means it belongs to you, but then if you lose it, you don't know where it is. But Allah owns this whole universe every moment, and He gives grace to this universe every moment. And this is a very high reality. That shows that actually the real owner of everything, even those things that belong to us, is the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you'll find in the Quran, there are different verses. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ or lahu mulku samawati wal ard. All these verses that talk about the ownership and the rule of Allah, the ontological rule of Allah, show that we don't have anything whatsoever, even our own selves. And that's why we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. Any state that comes to me, or any power that I have, or anything that I do is only by Allah's power. And therefore, O Allah, what do I have to give you? I don't deserve all these things. What I did was extremely evil because of the things that I did. And that's why I came to the state of affliction. And thus, forgive me. Inshallah, we'll continue our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is a brief but bright statement from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. Fear the believer's insight, for in seeing things, he is assisted by the light of Allah.
the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/EN. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
If you're a car lover, this story is for you. Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Perde. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is "Straight ahead to the past." The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally. A Jordanian woman is receiving high demands for the soaps she produces. Why? Because she uses an unusual ingredient. Lara Al-Titi makes soap out of camel milk. She tours different cities in Jordan to find the best camel farms for her business. Titi uses camel milk as the main ingredient for the soaps she produces. That's because she says it has rich benefits and contains more vitamins than cow's milk.
The first stage includes weighing the soap, and I include different kinds of oil to preserve the quality of the soap and its therapeutic benefit. We need to have high foam and tough consistency, and we don't want it to be rancid. We place high importance on the therapeutic material that we add during the production process.
Titi started her soap line at home using a manual process and then expanded it to an independent workshop. Her soap line has now become very popular in Jordan. Titi produces more than 4,000 soap bars a month. She sells them to both domestic and international customers.
The German firm's electric air taxi takes its first flight at a show in an airport near the French capital, Paris. Volocopter's flying taxi, which looks like a tiny helicopter, took off and landed vertically over the airport with no passenger on board during a 3-minute trial. Aside from its 2-passenger capacity, The aircraft also has some room for luggage. It flew a 500-meter route at speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour and 30 meters high along the airfield. The flying taxi service would first be operated by a licensed pilot, but the flight would be fully automated over a period of time.
With respect to regulation, initially we will have a fully certified, fully licensed helicopter pilot, just to fit into existing regulation. But we believe over time it can be much simpler to obtain such an operating license for a volocopter. And of course, in the last instance, we want to take a pilot requirement out, and we want these vehicles to fly fully automated. So you will not need a pilot license anymore. You can just summon the volocopter, it will come and pick you up and bring you safely to your destination.
The German firm is entering the urban mobility market with high hopes of playing a major role in the infant industry. Volocopter says its objective is to have a service in operation for 2024 for the 2024 Olympic Games. Walking around the city without shoes can be delightful. If you're interested in the experience, visit the Russian capital. A 3.5-kilometer long barefoot trail has recently opened in Moscow's Elk Island Park. It's made of various materials such as pine bark, beach pebbles, and clay. Taking around 40 minutes to complete, the path attracts hundreds of visitors every day. However, some people find it difficult to walk without shoes, calling the path a torture trail. A zoo in Turkey has welcomed a baby elephant from an endangered species. The birth of a female calf at Izmir Wildlife Park has caused excitement in keepers and visitors. The calf, yet to be named, is the third offspring of parents from Asian species. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature classifies the Asian elephant as endangered due to their rapid decline in the wild. The Asian elephants are primarily threatened by poaching, fragmentation, and loss and degradation of habitat. Currently, around 20 to 40,000 Asian elephants are living across the world, five of which inhabiting Turkey's Izmir Zoo.
A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched its devastating onslaught on Gaza in early May. At least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They use their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Bron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise, therefore it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife. And then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Dron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A video has gone viral showing animals at a U.S. zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pin. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. Might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital of Paris is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The
duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she has inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kalyuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo. Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonios has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
it's special for you, we present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is resorting to Ahlul Bayt.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Today, Friday, is the 14th of Zilqada, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open the Holy Quran, and for today, we'll listen to chapter 5, verse 55.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore His messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Guardianship over Muslims belongs firstly to Allah, secondly to the Prophet, and then to the Immaculate Imam, and after that to jurisconsult. The best kind of introduction is that in which the qualities and characteristics of a particular person he mentioned and the audience adapt them to its aspect and they themselves find its extension. The verse, without mentioning the name of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has enumerated his qualities and actions.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light. Be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
Why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? Some verses can be found in the Holy Quran on the infallibility of the prophets and Imams. The verse of Ita'ah or obedience, O you who have faith, obey Allah and obey the Apostle and those vested with authority among them. This verse is also one of the verses that indicates the infallibility of the Imams because it hasn't made the obedience of the Prophet and Imams dependent on anything else and has left it absolute. The only way what this verse says can be justified is to say that their obedience is an in line with obeying Allah and that there is never any contradiction between obeying them and what Allah wants from us. Such can only be achieved if they are infallible, because if it wasn't so and they were prone to error and sin, there would certainly be times where their obedience would be in contradiction with Allah's command as a result of their error.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in.
In this episode, we are going to discuss some important aspects of seeking support of the infallible imams. At the same time, we find that there is a piece of hadith in that one of the infallible imams indicated whether in the West or in the East, in the whole world, you wouldn't find any piece of knowledge more profitable compared with what we issue you, what we issue for you, and what we teach you. It indicates that, okay, infallible imams, okay, are good support of us, okay, not because of they themselves, but because of us. We find that the infallible imams are the express manifestations, of the divine guidance, and this divine guidance should reach us, okay, by means of very reliable personalities, who must be regarded as the most attentive personality responsible in our favor and for us, usually the infallibles. Okay, in this regard, we find that infallible imams, the infallibles in general, and particularly the infallible imams, are those important and praiseworthy personalities before whom we may get everything, taken from our worldly needs up to our scholarly needs or our benefits and felicity in the world hereafter. We hope to be able to receive the divine grace through appealing to the teachings of the infallibles. Thank you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala حميد مجيد.
How to respect Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. After learning about the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, we can now come to ways on respecting them. The first and most vital way is through acknowledging that they see and witness our every move and knowing that we should act accordingly. In our daily lives, we have to always remember to act in a way where the Ahlul Bayt are pleased with our behavior. We respect them by performing our prayers on time, respecting our parents and elders through giving charity. We respect them by doing as they wish.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Morality of Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza. Today, we're going to speak about his devotion. Abu Salt has reported when Imam Reza arrived in Nishapur on a black and white mule, I was accompanying him and the scholars of Nishapur had come to say welcome to the Imam. When he left the neighborhood, they took the rein of his mule, saying, O son of Allah's messenger, we ask you through the mediation of your purified forefathers, tell us a hadith. Imam Reza, who had a cloak of fur on, put his head out of the mule leader, saying, quoting Allah's messenger, my father reported, Gabriel informed me of Allah, saying, I am verily Allah. There are no God but me. O my servants, worship only me, and know that any one of you who meets me by bearing witness that there is no God but Allah, wholeheartedly and with devotion has entered my fortress. And whoever enters my fortress will be immune from my chastisement. They ask, O son of Allah's messenger, what is devotion in the oneness of Allah? The Imam answered, obeying Allah's messenger and obeying the imamate of Ahlul Bayt.
imam who's going to lead you must have the full knowledge, must be the most knowledgeable. Allah can only choose someone who has absolute knowledge and correct knowledge, who will not give you any false knowledge, any false, you know, information. Sometimes we may make errors. Sometimes we may give misinformation, even if we have good intentions. But the imam must be a source where you can always go to and trust. You must trust the knowledge of the imam, and to know that the imam has the full knowledge. Only Allah can choose such a person. Therefore, Allah is the one who chooses the imam. Now that's the rational, intellectual perspective. What about the Quran? Is there anything in Quran that demonstrates God chooses such people? Yes. Let's look at basically two main words that are used to refer to an imam. Imam and Khalifa. When we look at the Quran, we find that the imam and the Khalifa is chosen by God. The first example that I want you all to be familiar with is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 124. Allah talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim was a prophet. Then he passed his test. God made him a messenger, Rasul. Then he kept elevating in his iman until he became Khalilur Rahman. He became the intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave him that honor. But what is the highest level that Ibrahim achieved? So chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 124 tells us, Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. Allah tried Ibrahim. Difficult trials. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He completed those trials. When he completed those trials, how did Allah honor Ibrahim? What did he do? قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah said to Ibrahim, I have chosen you as an imam to the people. See, Allah says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I have chosen you as an imam. So if you look at the Quran is very clear that an imam is to be chosen by God. Not by this ummah or people of this ummah, they gather somewhere and they choose the imam for them. No. The imam must be chosen by Allah. So that's the first proof from the Holy Quran. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.
And we finish this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us till this time. And till another greetings, we bid you goodbye. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Rabbi,
Muhammad Nabi, Ali Imami.
La fata illa Ali, Ali Imami, Ali Imami, Ali Imami.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRI.